Hello, and welcome to this teaching from Paul Harmon, pastor of Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach, California. We pray that God uses these messages to draw people into his love, and we're thankful to hear when that happens. If this message shines Jesus' love into your life, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org, and if you'd like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. Again, thank you for joining us at Hope Chapel today.
Would you grab your Bibles in hand while I just kind of highlight this wonderful season that we're in called this fall season of the holidays? What a thrill for us to not only be in the Word of God, but to also just remind you how outstanding this season is for our church. A couple of things that are worth noting. First of all, next Sunday, during our 10:15 hour, going right into our Koinonia fellowship time, we will be praying a consecrated prayer for the Cove remodel. It looks beautiful. I hope you've been able to see inside. But next Sunday, we need to pray for that beautiful interior and then get our ministries back on in there, not only children's ministry, but our midweek life groups. And I think you're going to see some pretty outstanding things that will be available for that. So 10:15, please help us to pray. We love to pray over everything and just thank God for that and thank the Lord for your dedication of trusting us with resources and available funds just to do a great work. There's so many young families in our community, so many children we want to be able to bless and resource, let alone little ones is just doing a great job as well. Also, just if you've seen the poster out there, another big thing for the beautiful holiday season, our Nails Thanksgiving baskets. We are just inviting all of you to be able to contribute produce or product to those baskets. You'll see the sign-up board. Nails in His Hands is up and running once again. And so you'll see that there, what we would just volunteer you and I to participate by filling these wonderful baskets up. We're hoping to believe the Lord for 50 baskets. Where will they be going? Well, we're hoping that you might say, you know what, I could use a blessing this Thanksgiving. So please let the front office let me know, saying, you know what, Pastor, I'm just wanting to make you aware I could sure use a blessing like the Thanksgiving baskets. We'll be moving outward from there. You might know of a family and individuals that are in need of a surprise gift from God from Hope Chapel's Nails in His Hands ministry. So we're trying to make it as confidential as we can. So please let the pastoral team know. Let me know. Love to be able to help that. Also, Wayne Palika. Wayne Palika is our missions director. Want to just report to you. Wayne and a number of our members have gone through what's called Foursquare Disaster Relief Training. They're like chaplains on site. And whenever a disaster hits our nation, Foursquare wants to respond, and then they'll shoot an email out and say, can you provide time to help bring relief? Wayne said yes. He is one of 8 individuals in this team in Santa Rosa. The devastation of neighborhoods that are no longer there. This team of 8, 4 men, 4 women, Wayne is one of them. You should be so proud of him. They are sleeping on a Foursquare sanctuary floor. Good thing he's got an air mattress. He says, Pastor Paul, I am sleeping well. There's a lot to be done. People need hope everywhere they go. And so we're grateful for the Foursquare movement, plus others. They have set up that church to be a supply, and a lot of good things are happening. So thank you for you who have responded to the disasters. We still are recovering from those tremendous tsunamis that just devastated parts of our nation as well. Finally, let me just add this. I thank the Lord how he continues to remind us to appreciate people. And this month is a month of appreciation. And this Friday is our volunteer appreciation party. And I'm excited. It's totally different. It is not a banquet. It's a party. And so thank you. Out of the 152, we've sent out invitations. About 105, 106 have responded. If you have not responded, it's too late. The castle doors are closed. Seriously, we just ordered all the food, but there's always next year. How's that? Is that all right? But we're looking forward to you signing up somewhere so we can include you. we are going to turn our whole sanctuary and the surrounding region into one big theater and watch Star Wars called The Force Awakens. It's going to be tickets distributed to you volunteers, and you'll be able to take those tickets to get your gift, get your food, get your candy, get whatever else I think we're going to be giving you. But it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of talk, a lot of great camaraderie. And we want to say thank you. And thank you, dear church, for just showing in our council, for showing such love and value to the many men and women and young people that serve our church. Well, I want to just as we lead into the message, you can find your Bible, go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Let me enhance the message and give what I felt a prophetic word, and then we'll get into the message. This is what I feel the Lord would want to say, and I step out in faith and say that. The Lord would say to you, my dear one, how I love you, and how I recognize the times that you say, I have no ability to make an influence or a witness about God to people I know. But I say to you, recall with me how that when you are in love with someone, how that you look forward to being with that person, how that you enjoy the times and anticipation of being with that person, and that excitement passes on to others. May I remind you, my dear one, not only how much I love you, but that would you come and be with me and once again renew your love for me, that as you enjoy times with me, and I call you to that time, that out of that time of looking forward to being with me, that love that you and I share, the joy will flow from you and will affect and influence others. And they themselves will say, I want to be joyful just like you. That will be your witness. That you will find people that'll say, how can I have the joy that you display? And you, by reason of just loving me, being with me, will lead many people. Therefore, allow the presence of my Spirit, my Holy Spirit, come upon you, praying in the Spirit and keeping yourself in the love of God and knowing the mercies of God that comes through our Lord Jesus Christ, even enjoying eternal life. If that word was for you, I want to just highlight Jude. Jude is just before the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Basically, it just refers and encourages us with this. But you, beloved, talking to Christians, build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And there's something about being in the presence of the Lord, how the Holy Spirit brings the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, meekness, self-control. May the Holy Spirit come. Allow me just to pray in getting into the message, pray for that fresh infilling of His Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Spend time with God's Spirit. Stay, verse 21 says, stay in the love of God. Stay in the love of God. Pursue Him in His love before you would pursue anyone else's love. And watch how that will influence and be a big witness. So, Lord, we want to thank you even as we approach and have the Word of God before us. Thank you for allowing your Spirit to abide with us and to flow not just into us, but to pray in the Spirit, to build our most holy faith up as we pray in the Spirit. And Lord, drawing us and abiding in the love of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, friends, good morning once again. I want to thank you. Thank you for bringing your Bible. You know, it is Operation Solid Lives. We are doing discipleship training here, 3 o'clock to 5. And thank you, you OSL students. Let's just take a look at our Bible attendance. Can we do that real quick? Let's just hold our Bibles up. If you don't have your Bible, that's okay. Just put your hand on somebody else's Bible and say, I'm taking claim for this one. In honor of our OSL students, Bibles up. Repeating after me, this is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life. How long? Yeah, baby, forever, forever. That's a long time. And why not? Because you're going to live forever. And today we're taking a look at our fourth part of this series. It's entitled the series, Seeing the Kingdom Rewards. So as you're taking notes, and thank you, you disciples of Operation Solid Lives, that is our series. But today's message is entitled Finishing the Christian Race. Finishing the Christian race. Man, nothing like finishing something and feeling good about it. One of my favorite little stories is the tortoise and the hare. Remember that? The turtle and the rabbit. That storyline goes that all of a sudden the rabbit picks on the turtle as being such a slowpoke, and I could beat you anytime you ought to race me. And he gets him to race, gets the rabbit to race, and gets the turtle to race. And here they are at the startup line, and the gun sounds. And before the turtle can take one step, that rabbit is out of the starting block like grease lightning. Bam, he is gone. Right away, everybody knows this is a easy win. Have you ever said, man, I've got this. And so as the rabbit is just tearing up the course and the little turtle is just one methodical step at a time. Boo-doo, 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 doo-doo, boo-doo. The rabbit decides to sit down by a tree, take a nap, only to wake up and realize that he has slept himself to a loss. He sees the turtle way up almost to the finish line, tears into high gear, just about to cross the finish line, and the turtle wins the race. It's an amazing thing. And today we're going to see a man that is coming to the end of his race. And it's okay because he's lived his life for God all the direction. As we look here and follow with me, I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. This is Paul writing his letter to a young pastor. His name is Timothy, thus the epistle Timothy. I charge you therefore, verse 1 begins, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, capital D. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. When we take a look here, our first point, preach the word. Isn't it interesting? Because Paul is going to hand on what many believe is the Pauline baton. If you're in track and field, it's like, man, this my leg of the journey is done. I have ran the course. Here you go. Take off. Go for it. And that's what he's bringing up right now. And he says in verse 1 and 2 again, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, I am commissioning you. This is what you're going to be about, because this is what my life's about. And it says, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. We've been dealing with that judgment element. We've been looking at those two great events that are yet to come to all people. Those next two great events are, if you are a believer, it is called the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5, 9 and 10. The judgment of your life moving forward from Christ. When you had him in your life, what did you do with him? How did you live your life? The other big event is the great white throne judgment. If a person appears to that judgment, it's too late for them. That is how much hell they would get because they had no desire to believe and trust Jesus for their own salvation and forgiveness of sins. We marked this reminder because we know that salvation in Jesus or heaven's a given. It's a gift. Matter of fact, we access it by faith, by believing. So heaven is by faith. But rewards on that day are by what? Works. So heaven by faith, rewards by works. Do not blend those two, because some might say, well, I don't know if I'm going to go to heaven. I haven't done enough good. That is not how heaven is offered. If you think that's the case, that's called a salvation by works. Teaching, don't go there. And you'll know it because there will be times that will happen to a person that still traffics in that, because when you read your Bible enough, when you go to church enough, when you do enough, you'll feel like, man, I deserve the rapture. God's going to bring me home. And when you haven't read your Bible for a year, when you haven't done what you know, then you feel a little fearful, intimidated, as if maybe I won't go. That's still a salvation by works. Salvation is by faith in the finished work of Jesus. Everybody say amen. Therefore, now that you are born again, what are you going to do with this great salvation? And that's where good conduct, an obedient life, merits rewards. I charge you, verse 1 says, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, at his appearing, he's going to come, and so will you appear before him and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Take a look at that first area. Not only preach the word, but point number two, prepare for apostates. There's going to come a time. Why? Because people will not pay attention to the truth. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound teaching or doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. The apostle saying, Timothy, and I can hear the Lord saying to us, preach the word, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel when it's in season and out of season. Preach the gospel when it's convenient for you because you're with everybody, you know. And when it's not convenient for you, preach the word. Paul was commissioned to get the gospel out there. So are we. We're commissioned to either do one of two things, maybe three. You either just go for it. I mean, just go for it. Or you pray for laborers to get going for it. Or then you give. You invest in the kingdom and you get those individuals out there and keep praying for them. The Apostle Paul says, preach the word. Be ready in season, out season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. I don't know what it takes if you've ever kind of still work with family or friends and share Jesus with them. There's a suffering that goes on. You work hard with people and man, they go on big time with Jesus. And then 6 months later, they're floundering. I mean, that's heartache. That's hard. With all long suffering, aren't we grateful that's a way God tells and describes himself? He suffers along with humanity. Or else he'd put an end to everything and just take us all home. I'm glad he's patiently waiting for me to respond. Get the message out there. Prepare for the apostates. Watch out. Point three, perform the duties. Verse 5 says, but you be watchful. In all things endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Hey, Timothy, fulfill your ministry. Don't start and stop. Start and stop. Man, are you in? Are you in? Fulfill your ministry. He comes in there and he's saying, be careful, watch out, do the work of an evangelist, carry on. It's an interesting thing because Timothy's a pastor. We all know the fivefold ministries, the Ephesians 4:11, how that Jesus gives some to be apostles, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And so I say, well, I'm not an evangelist. I just really am intimidated. He's telling this pastor, better do the work of an evangelist. Get the message out about Jesus Christ. That's a good message for all of us. I'm not called. Yes, you are. Do the work. Do the work. Everybody say, do the work. It is work. It is work. That's why we provide extra time, not only from our own needs within resource of our service time of worshiping Jesus, but say, man, let's prepare this fellowship of believers, this faith family, to continue to get the message out. Let's do the work of an evangelist. Let's continue. Letter A on your notes, be watchful. Watchful in all things. That's what the scripture's saying, verse 5. In other words, what culture are you in? What is your generation doing about what we know is the right thing to do? What's the next generation? How are we investing in the next generation? Be watchful, all things. What's happening as spiritual leaders in our home? Be watchful. What's going on in your home? What's coming in through your entertainment? Be watchful in all things. And as we see, letter B, be willing. Endure afflictions. It can happen. Those things, there can be some difficulty. What kind of afflictions? I don't know what it's like for you to really go good for God. But there's a sacrifice. There's always a road for all of us. There's a road. It's like a V. That's how God dealt with me. When I used to do things like growing weed, I remember the Lord said, Paul, I'm not on that road. If you're going to go that way and make the bongs, I'm not there. Well, where are you, Lord? Because I want to follow you. Well, this is the direction I have. You get planted in that little four-square church. I don't have any friends there. I don't know what it's like. But wherever you're at, Lord, that's where I want to go. And he's always brought me up. There's a fork. You're going to make a decision, Paul. And whatever road you go, you forfeit the other road. There's a endure affliction. Get up in the morning to pray, to fast for you. There's some affliction. Endure affliction. When we take a look at what it's like, man, finish well, we can see what's going on here because be working, letter C, do the work. It really does require that. Point number four, persist for rewards. Why is the Apostle Paul getting all over this little pastor? Because there's rewards at hand. Paul is finishing his life. And man, it's nothing like having a few of those individuals in your life where you realize they're going to finish well, but they say now it's your turn to finish well. And we see so clearly, letter A, faithfulness. I'm already, that's what he's talking about. I'm already, verse 6, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul knows there's not going to be any reprieve. He's been in jail before. Matter of fact, he's in a Roman jail. Some feel it was a dungeon. There was times he's been in jail before. He didn't know if he was going to survive it or not. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, 21. That's where he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I don't know which way to go because, man, to go off with Christ is far better. But for me to remain, it's better for you that I stay and help you. I just don't know which direction I'm going. Here he does. The time of my departure is at hand. Isn't that amazing to be so faithful to God that you could actually know when your time is up? That's a powerful thing to recognize. And here he's saying this so clearly. And he says, I'm being poured out as a drink offering. What is that all about? Well, anyone that knew Jewish customs for sacrifices, that drink offering, Numbers chapter 15, describes it's the culmination of the big layout of a sacrifice. So once the consecration of the animals, then the priest would take now the pouring out of the wine. The sacrifice is coming. This is the last sacrifice to end the big sacrifice. Paul is saying that. He's saying this. My whole life has been one of sacrifice, and I'm down to the drink offering. Man, can you imagine what would it be like if somehow somebody told you you're terminal, that you're down to the drink offering? Could you actually say that? Could I say that? And my whole life has been one of sacrifice for God. And now he's wanting my life too. And Paul's going to be beheaded. That's how history says his life finished. How would you feel with regards to saying, I'm ready to go? The time of my departure. To walk so close with God that you know when he says, I'm bringing you home. Man, that's pretty powerful for Paul to describe that. He just says it's just an easy transition. That word departure in the Greek actually means to uncouple. To uncouple a plow, to uncouple an animal that's been laboring. I'm going to be uncoupled and be released. Ooh, don't you dig that? I like that. See, his whole life has been one. Since the day that Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, whatever Jesus wanted of him, whenever Jesus called him to do, he says, I'll sacrifice for that. You can imagine if there could be times that we've never given God anything. We just don't know what that's like to sacrifice something to God. When he calls us home, it's going to be a culture shock. What are you wanting here, God? Why would you take me? I need more. So we see here, Paul says, the time of my departure is at hand. Letter B, fighting. I have fought. It's an amazing thing when he says this. He says, I have fought, verse 7, the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There is a fight that you are in. I'm sure you're aware of that. We always see it displayed in popular entertainment. There's always some form of good force and evil force. Hey, since we live in an imperfect world, it wouldn't take long for you to come across some evil forces. So just remember that. But there is good out there, and that good is God, who gives life to every living being and brings it all together and ultimately through Jesus Christ. So it's important that we recognize here, fight the good fight of faith, to consecrate your life. What kind of fight are we in? Sometimes it could be, man, just to recognize the importance of just standing on the word of God, to believe the Lord, to not doubt. I don't know of one dude that doesn't like a good fight. I mean, you watch hockey for what? You're looking for baseball, hoping that they'll clear the benches, right? Ah, fight, fight. But you understand what I'm saying. Man, you're in one. You're in one. I fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. Because there's going to be times that there's been plenty of Christians that have said it's too tough. So-and-so didn't show up to fight for me. I don't know how to fight. They're out. Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. I hear God saying the same thing, fight the good fight. Satan is really hell-bent to make sure you do not offer anything to God, not a thing to God. He will constantly remind you to say, you don't need to give God anything. He's got everything. You hang on to your little realm and domain. You deserve it. You've heard those voices, so have I. Let somebody else do it. I'm working hard to maintain. That is not the voice of God. It certainly is a human voice. And you be careful if someone else tells you that, because if you're never accustomed to sacrifice, the day that God asks you to come home, it will be a culture shock. We want to have those rewards that are displayed. Let's finish well, letter C. Finishing, I have finished the course. I have run the race. Letter D, the fruit, the righteous judge will give to me. Isn't it amazing when we take a look at this? He says, I have fought the good fight, verse 7. I have finished the race. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, capital D, not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. See, God has a desire, making sure he has rewards waiting for us. It's ready to go. I don't know if you've ever seen somebody in Scripture with dying grace. Paul's got it here. Another one would be Stephen. In Acts chapter 7, verse 55, he's being rocked to sleep for his faith in Jesus. The first martyr, dying grace. Lord, don't hold this sin against them. It's an amazing thing to see a person that says, I'm looking forward to this next transition. Maybe you're here right now and it's like, well, I'm not too sure. Pastor Paul, I think I've got time. You don't know that. You don't know that. If you are 35 years of age and God knows your clock will ring at age 42, you're an old person. You don't have much time left. That turtle in the hair stuff, you might have been sleeping too long. If you're 60, and you're going to be around for age 90, you're relatively young. You've got time. So when people say, I've got time, you don't know that. How about the Chicago fire on October 8th, 1871? People say, we've got time to vacate. Just decimated Chicago. We know what that's like with the recent fires in Santa Rosa. People were not aware of destruction blowing through. We don't know. Are you prepared? Say, Lord, I know we have each two things. We have a purpose for which God made us. The second thing is a time sequence to fulfill that purpose. You have a purpose, but a time sequence, that's what we're talking about, finishing in that time sequence what the purpose of God is for your life. Therefore, it's going to be important. It's going to be significant that we say, Lord, I want to surrender my life to you once again. However or whatever you would want and require of me. Matter of fact, I'm going to invite you to close your Bibles. We're going to sing this song, and I just want to invite you, once you close your Bible, to stand to your feet. I want to give opportunity because faith sometimes requires action. And if you're here this morning and you're not even sure heaven is for you, why don't you come on down, come right down, stand right here, face the cross. But if you're here as well and you know you haven't really been surrendering your life, when the scripture says in Romans 12, 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. If you've never done that, but you feel God stirring you to say, I'm going to surrender everything. Whatever he wants, it's all his. Today's the day. I want you to come. I want you to come. Just stand right here and say, Lord, everything of me is yours. Everything of me is yours. Let's sing.
Savior, I come to quiet my soul. Remember.
come on out of the chairs. They'll let you slip on out of the seats. You come and watch how the grace of God will meet and minister to you, filling you full of confidence by the Spirit of God.
Your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down.
We thank you.
Rid me of myself.
Of the wills. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I just know that there's a couple others saying, if I go down, what will people think? Man, how about what God thinks? You surrender your life in those areas that are still not yielded. What an amazing day it's going to be. We're going to sing this song one more time and just allow you come. Watch a day of breakthroughs that will happen.
And lead me to the cross where you're and bring me to my knees, Lord, and lay me down.
Thank you, Lord. We've got room.
Rid me of myself. I belong to you. Lead me. Oh, lead me. And lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Rid me of my of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Lead me to the cross.
Well, I want to thank each and every one of you for coming forward, and we want to just pray a consecrated prayer, just kind of like we do when we just even pray a blessing over a marriage. You have two parties merging once again. That's really what's happening right now. And with that, it's amazing because God knows where he's going to take you who've come forward. Maybe you're in your seat right now and you just say, one day I'm going to do that. How about today? How about today? One day I'll do that when I'm old and gray and I've got time to give God. How about today? Why don't you give him your entire future and watch how the Lord arranges your life moving forward. You might like how you like it today. You might say, hey, I'm doing fine without really giving much investment into God's kingdom. Man, how about your life? So we're going to just pray a blessing over you right now. And we're going to just see what God will do in a unique and powerful way. Because God's going to take what you're offering to him, and he's going to multiply it, prosper you. Watch, watch. Father, we want to thank you right now. Because, Lord, you're the one that said so clearly that the church is your bride. And that, Lord, you will call us home to be with you. And that, Lord, we really do want to come prepared and say, dear Lord, here is everything I have received from you. And I now bestow it back to you with interest, with extra. Lord, since I could not keep it on earth, thank you for the honor of being used by you for your glory. And Lord, you know these dear ones that are here right now. May you be glorified in this initial decision to say, I'm surrendering my life completely. That by the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll fill them. By the power of God, you will move to great confidence, eliminating fear, doubt, and discouragement. Removing what people would say or think, purifying their minds and hearts so that they will not think and consider what others say. But Lord, the Word of God will be their lamp and give light and direction. That, Lord, because of their consecrated life, like Jesus on the cross, consecrating his life even unto death, that, Lord, you would use their life in any way as they release things, even as if it were a dying away, that you would bring life, prosperity, abundance, and blessing. And that others would see and say, I want exactly the Jesus that you are living for. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to just add a couple of things here. For you who are standing and maybe you who are here, it's interesting to note, I'll have people say, I feel called, Pastor. I'm called to do something. I just don't know what it is. And I want to just give you four steps that are very important. Here's how it goes when you feel called. Get plugged in to the local church. Everything happens at the local church level. The times that people don't feel that they adequately invested in their local church, that's a misstep. Get plugged in. God works through the local church. He named it, said the gates of hell won't prevail against it. By telling your pastor, I feel called. I'm not sure what it is. Second, always say yes to your pastor. I love that part. I just thought, yes, pastor. Whatever you want, pastor. That's important. Because third, your ministry calling will be defined by what you do. And many of you know what I'm saying. You just say yes and you start doing, and the real you starts to bubble out and you find satisfaction and move into areas. And then fourth and finally, relationships. Don't ever minimize relationships within church or within the body of Christ. God will use the relationships you nurture and work so hard on to build out from there. And watch how that call will go even beyond Hope Chapel, because the relationships you're building, God will use to network you beyond. His focus is the world. Don't let relationships be crushed by reason of unforgiveness or bitterness. You'll eliminate that fourth step and no more relationships. You need those relationships. Therefore, can you imagine how poor the witness would be of us when we say Jesus forgives sins, but we ourselves do not forgive others? It is not a good witness. It is not a good witness. So thank you for listening to those four steps. Sure, love and value each and every one of you. Can we just thank the Lord for what he's done? I'm so grateful. You may be seated. Thank you for sitting
down. I
want
to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.